Amen. Thank you, fathers, for all that you do. Well, it is Father's Day weekend. Now, typically, for Mother's Day, when that comes, that's when all the guys try to attempt to do what moms do and give them a day off, give them a little break. That's what we do for Mother's Day. So, going with that idea, I thought maybe that Jeanette would like to preach the sermon today and give me a little break. But then I remembered that she has never preached a sermon before, and so that means she's got about 12 years worth of sermon illustrations about me stored up. So I figured it'd just safer if I preach today. So I'm sorry, you're just stuck with me today. Will you bow your heads as we approach God's throne? Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, we are here to hear from you. So this day we open up our hearts and our minds that you might speak again, that we might listen. And Lord, as we behold your glory, help us to not leave this place the same as when we came in, but may we be more like you, is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. When you were little, did you ever dream about what you were going to be when you grew up? Did you ever think about that? I did. When I was little, I used to dream all the time. And I dreamt about being a police officer. I thought that'd be kind of cool. Can you see me in a policeman's outfit? I don't know. So I gave up that dream and I thought, well, what would be an exciting life? And I thought a firefighter, that would be a really cool job. I thought about being a firefighter. And I think just about every young person or young boy dreams about being a ball player of some type. And so I had the dreams of being a ball player as well. Then as I grew older, I dreamed the dream of being a radio DJ. And sure enough, I was able to do that. What did you dream when you were growing up? I have to tell you the truth, I never dreamed that I would have a job where I would have to wear a tie. That was never one of my dreams growing up. I never dreamed about being a pastor. But I'm glad the Lord has led me to this place. I remember the first time I was ever called pastor. It happened about 10 years ago. I was doing Bible studies with John and Shirley Stout. And I'd been coming there several weeks, and I went there one day, and Stephen Stout, who's not little anymore, but he was little back then, he came outside and he saw me and he said, "Hi, Pastor." And I froze. I wanted to turn around to see if Pastor Myers was behind me. I'd never been called that before, and I said, "Oh, wait, he means me." And so I said, "Hi." That was the first time I was ever called pastor. It was very cool. It's a big responsibility, being a pastor and answering this call to go where God says. Very neat title, but not nearly as weighty a title as another title that I have, that I gained 7 years ago. Jeanette held Ethan in her arms, and as she held him, we looked at him, and he wasn't doing much. He was just there. But we still stared at him. And then she looked at me and she said, "Well, what do you think, Daddy?" Do you remember, gentlemen, the first time that you were called Dad? Well, we all grow up with a dad and with a father. But it's a whole new thing when someone else calls you Dad. This weekend we celebrate fathers. And some of you are fathers today. Some of you will be someday. And most of us had fathers, and all of us know fathers. So as we look into God's Word this morning, I pray that the message will speak to all of us. Whether you're a dad or not, I hope that you can still walk away with something this morning that will speak to you. Because we all know of a dad who needs to hear about what it means to be a father. So this morning, let's think about what we want to be when we grow up. First off, we have to ask the question, what is the job of the father? You heard a few of the kids say what dads do. What does dad do at your house? What's the job of a father? Well, folks, I fully agree with this statement, that bringing a child into this world does not make you a father and doesn't. You have to choose every day to be a father. But what does a dad do? Well, in our house, it's dad's job to squish spiders. That's one of the jobs that dad has. I'm going to get in real big trouble for having this spider slide up on the screen, but that's one of my jobs. But being a dad is more than just killing spiders, stepping on bugs. It's more than mowing the lawn. It's more than just occasionally warming up the grill. What does it mean to be a dad? It means to be a provider, a spiritual leader. A father empowers his family. A father is a servant leader. Those are all good things. They're all vital, but there's one more aspect to the father that I want us to look at this morning. The father as an example. The father as an example. Let's open our Bibles this morning and let's see what God's word says to us about this role of being a father. Now, there are tons of stories in the Bible. There are lots of fathers in the Bible. So we should have no problem finding good stories about good fathers in the Bible, right? Sure, we just go looking and we find our way to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And when you get to 1 Samuel chapter 2, you discover that Samuel is given into the care of the priest. But then when you look at that story and you find out that the priest, Eli, he couldn't even control his sons. His sons were wicked. So maybe not the best father to look at in the Bible. So, okay, some of you just got to 1 Samuel. I'm going to move you on. You can read that later. Turn to Judges. Judges, a few books closer to the front there. Judges. It's a story about early Israel. Surely they've got good dads in there. And then you find Judges 11, a famous father story. Maybe not for the best reasons. In Judges 11, you find Jephthah. You know Jephthah? And this is a guy, a powerful warrior. And they ask him, come and fight this war for us. And so he does, and he comes back victorious. He's so excited, he says to God, God, whatever comes out of the doorway of my house, I will sacrifice to you. And his daughter walks out the doorway of his house. And his foolish vow loses the life of his daughter. He's probably not winning Father of the Year anytime soon. Strange story. Kind of having some trouble all of a sudden finding a good example of a father in the Bible. So we need to keep looking. Let's go back to the beginning. Surely if we go to the patriarchs, the early fathers that we find in Genesis. Let's go there. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. We need to find an example of a good father here in the Bible. Genesis 12, we find God calling out Abram, who would become Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we find Abraham doing something interesting about verses 18 and 19. And then if you know the story of Abraham well, this is a guy, the early father, who pretends that his wife is his sister, so that he doesn't get killed by a king. And you know how many times he does it? Twice! I think I'd only get away with that once. How about you guys? You did something like that. What is going on here? We're having trouble here. Let's go to Genesis 21 now. And let's see about Abraham as a father. Genesis 21 and verse 10. Now at this point in time, Abraham has had a son with his servant, Hagar, and he's also had a child with his wife. And listen to what his wife says in verse 10. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. So what does he do? Abraham chooses one son over the other, and he drives Ishmael out. He chooses Isaac. That leads to conflict between these two boys, conflict that in many ways still exists today between the Jewish race and those that are Muslim. Now watch this. I'm going to fast forward to Genesis 26 now. Genesis 26, verse 9, we're going to find Abraham's son Isaac. And let's see what he does. In Genesis 26, verse 9, then Elimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is your wife, so how could you say she is my sister? Here again, we've got Abraham's son Isaac. He's grown up now, and he does the same thing his dad did. There was a king that he was afraid might look a little too closely at his wife, and so he said, oh, no, she's not my wife. You don't have to kill me. She's my sister. Doing what his dad did. Turn with me back a page to Genesis 25 now. Genesis 25, verse 28. Let's find out what else was handed down to this early father, now Isaac. Genesis 25, verse 28 says, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Again, we find Isaac who loves Esau over Jacob. They're both twins born at the same time, but Isaac chooses one over the other, and it leads to turmoil in the family. He does just what his dad did. And then Jacob, he grows up and he runs away, learns a few lessons about telling the truth and not telling all of the truth. But then fast forward to Genesis 37. When Jacob is now grown and he's received a new name, he's now referred to as Israel, here in Genesis 37, verse 3. And look what happens again. In Genesis 37, in verse 3, reads, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Jacob, also known as Israel, chooses one son over the others. And that leads to the other boys taking Joseph and throwing him in a pit and then selling him into slavery. Did you notice a pattern here in Genesis? Time and again, the mistakes of the father are handed down to the child. Gentlemen, what are we handing down to the next generation? Our children are watching us, gentlemen, and ladies too. They are learning from us. When I was growing up, without realizing it, I wanted to be like my dad. Now, my dad is a huge sports fan. I mean, big sports fan. Mom says she complains that he can find some sports thing to watch every day of the year. I really like sports. In fact, my dad's favorite baseball team, does anyone have a guess what it is? Favorite baseball team is, yes, the New York Yankees.